This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The High Hopes Jackie baseball report in a moment, as well as your calls on whether the Eagles should go out and take a big swing on a star on defense. 215-592-9494. You know this show is always informed. Instead of just guessing on the air, we always read everything on the air.
All about accuracy.
So as it turns out, the NFLPA report is actually printed, and you can read why the players said what they said. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, thank you to Lisa on Twitter who said this. So the family thing is that the Eagles are, I think, one of three teams that don't provide child care. They do provide a family room there, but they don't provide child care. And the travel, here are the three things about the travel. 43% of Eagles players believe they have a comfortable amount of personal space on team flights, which is 30th out of 32. So most players don't think they have enough personal space. That sounds like a gym issue.
Well, and it's because, listen, it's not their fault. The biggest offensive line in football.
Right, yeah, maybe they...
Good point.
Maybe they just
big guys.
Bigger plane.
Well, I would imagine those guys are the ones that are sitting in those first class seats.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Yeah, go to that.
I'm
going to
get to that. So the players feel like their team's travel schedule is not very efficient, ranking 26 out of 32. But here is the last one. Players feel they should get the first class seats on team flights instead of the coaching staff.
I bleed for this city!
little tiny Kellen Moore up there in that giant seat.
Yeah, you tell them, boys.
Well, we got to ask Jordan about this tomorrow.
Love it.
Yeah, you tell them, boys. Get those coaches out of first-class seats, man.
I just wish someone wrote in there the stewardess was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Forever. Would have been the best forever.
Well, he keeps it up. He might not be on the flight.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. Yeah, don't go after. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
It's funny. Like, I want to stop him from doing it because I want to protect him. But then also, the info is always so good, I can't stop him.
I know.
You know?
Like, more info about Ike and I on the flight. Less info.
Yeah, less info about what's going on with the Eagles.
He said something to the effect of, if Big Dom knows what's good for him or something.
Probably the wrong guy.
Not that guy.
There's one guy in the Eagles organization, maybe the entire city.
Yeah.
It's Big Dom.
Yeah. If there's a guy in the organization that walks around in a sweatsuit with an Italian flag on it or whatever, is like his name is Big Anything.
Yeah,
that's the guy. It's like not that guy.
It's amazing how Dom is blown up.
Yes, he sure.
It's unbelievable.
It is amazing.
Listen, I hope he does eventually get a movie written about him because it's all setting up for
the book. But he won't.
Because
the best stories are the ones that he can't tell.
Yep.
You know? It would incriminate a lot of people. A lot of people. Before we get back
Look at me.
Yeah. We got to find out more. We got to get Big Dom in here for an hour and grill him about Ike. All right. Let's talk a little baseball before we get back to the bird.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Tell Jackie Baseball.
So listen, a couple weeks ago, I exclusively reported that the Phillies are going to make a lineup change.
Yes.
And we're going to put Trey Turner at the top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. And in my natural baseball instinct, that means that Bryce Harper is going to be batting two because he's one of your best players, and he's going to get more at-bats. And in the playoffs, what has sunk then the last three postseasons has been teams pitching around Bryce Harper in the biggest games of the season. Well, for the second straight time with Bryce in the lineup, he is batting third behind Kyle Schwarber. And I just don't get it. And I think this is turning into a Bryce issue, not a Phillies issue. Because analytically, it doesn't make any sense. Kyle Schwarber's not a two-hole hitter. Kyle Schwarber, just keep him at leadoff at this point. Like, there's no point. The point of the move was to put Trey Turner at leadoff to get some speed on the bases, Bryce Harper batting two, and have real protection behind him. Not getting Bohm in the same exact spot he's been for the last three postseasons, or Castellanos, which goes back to 2022. Like, this is another example of Bryce Bat not wanting to move up. And listen, there's audio of it if you want to hear that. This is Bryce before the season talking about how he's a three-hitter.
Obviously, I'm a three-hole hitter, but I have been. But whenever they tell me to hit two or four, I've done that in the past, as you guys know. So I want to win. So I don't care what that takes. You want to start out hot, and you're going to go the ebbs and flows of the season, obviously. But as a team, we just need to understand to just play the game all year long, play it right, play hard, take the ebbs and flows, and get hot at the right time, obviously, by the end of the year. And, I mean, obviously, I want to win the division. That's the first thing. And then get into postseason and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're the best team in baseball or not. You just got to go in there and play the game and do it the right way all the way through.
He says, first, I'm a three-hole hitter.
Yes.
And that's all you needed to hear.
And then he kind of chuckles at two and four, by the way.
He's done both of that.
Like, yes.
The best thing for the team is Bryce batting second. And I know that we're on this. Everyone's got to be comfortable, you know, with what they need, what they want. But he wouldn't go to the outfield to sign a first baseman, which would have made the offense that much better, and won't bat two. Like, it's annoying. It's annoying. He should be batting two right now. Like, and I know it's spring training. Maybe they're trying some things out, but I don't buy that. I don't think he wants to bat. I don't think he wants to bat second. I think he wants to bat third because he wants to see more pitches, which, sure, I get. It's one at bat. It's the beginning of the game. The best thing for the Phillies is Bryce Harper batting two, and I hope he changes his mind.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the biggest thing, I think it helps the lineup, and I've said it a bunch of times, I would actually hit the lead off. I would have Bryce hitting lead off, but I get not doing that. I think the biggest thing is not even what it does to the lineup. It is, if he would hit second, I think it sends a message,
of course,
Jack and Ike, to the rest of the team.
Yes.
That Trey, this thing about you not wanting to go to the outfield, or Schwarber doesn't want to lead off, all these things. If the best player on the team sacrifices, then everybody else has to fall in line because he does it. And I just think these are talented players. I think they're good guys, but there's a little too much comfort in the locker room and in the clubhouse, and I think there's a little too much me and what I'm comfortable with, you know?
Yeah, I put this on. You got to go with Dave Dombrowski, because I think Topper is too much of a nice guy. He's more of a let the guys figure it out, and if this is what they're comfortable with doing, and this is what we do, versus being one of these types of managers that's like, well, this is the way we're going to do it, and you'll get comfortable with it. But if it's coming from upstairs, right? Like, this is the only way, to me, you get to a star like Bryce Harper or Trey Turner, who's making that type of money, is that it has to be above the manager.
The guy paying you, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It has to be someone that's pulling the purse strings, and no one wants to upset Bryce. Because he's Bryce Harper, right? They all, and listen, I got a certain level of admiration for him as well. But we're just talking baseball. This isn't about how much we like Bryce Harper, respect him, and all that other stuff. We all love the guy. We know how great of a ball player he is. But this is about what should be best for the baseball team and for the entire baseball team and how it impacts everyone else. And to your point, if they see he's willing to do that, even though it's clear it's not something he's jumping at the opportunity to do, right? It would mean that he's willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. And then now Topper has sort of the cachet, or at least the backing, when he goes to the other guys to do it.
Castellanos and everything.
All those guys, like you just do. And I don't know if this is something Bryce is like, yeah, we're not doing the whole two or four hole thing. I'm a three hole hitter, and this is where I'm a hit.
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to comfortability. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think he likes seeing pitches. But again, it's just, all right, to make it a Jalen comparison, Jalen was okay, quote unquote, with it then turning into a running offense. And he could have, you know, thrown a stink about it.
Yep.
They had the bye week. They had tough conversations at the bye week. The bye week heard around the world. I just think there has to be some level of give here. It can't be just everyone gets to do what they want. I mean, that was our argument about Rob Thompson and whether or not he should be back. Is someone ruling with more of an iron fist in there? They've had the country club vibe for the last couple of years.
Right. Yet, there has to be some moment where he's hitting in that two-hole spot.
There has to be. They are too comfortable in there. And whether it is the manager, whether it's another player, whether it's Dave Dombrowski, nobody feels like if they say, no, I don't want to do it, that there's any consequence to it at all. There's no consequence. So I only bring this up because it went through my mind. People got mad at me when I mentioned it online earlier. I just think about the extension. And I think about him wanting it and saying, well, if I'm going to do something that I'm not saying that he's holding one over the other, but I do wonder, you say Dave Dombrowski, right? So I wonder if Dave Dombrowski even wants to have that conversation with him when he knows this other thing is looming a little bit. The extension thing's been around there for a couple of years.
Yeah, it makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
And Bryce Harper sees everyone who is, you know, big stars now signing these contracts for double
basically
what
making
he
twice
makes.
As much as he is. Yeah.
I just think I understand his position on the extension. Look what I've changed the image
the culture,
of the team,
yep.
the culture, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I get it, but you still got 6 years left on your deal. I just wonder if that's part of it. Is there's a little bit of not tension, but it's harder to ask somebody to do something when that is.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
completely makes sense, especially if it's something he doesn't really want to do.
Right.
Hey, you threw him an extra 3 years and $100 million in there, then maybe he is hitting in the two-hole.
He did an eighth for $100 million.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it makes sense.
Jack, do you think at some point this spring he will hit second? Is this because then you look at the lineup and they're bunching up righties and lefties now because
of
this.
Which is completely against what Topper wants to do.
Of course it is. Listen, Schwarber had a good year against lefties last year. We don't need them hitting back to back. Just split them up. Split them up. If that's the opening day lineup, I'd be incredibly disappointed. It's perfect. It's Turner, it's Harper, and then you have a bunch of hitters behind them that can give them real protection.
And by the way, Harper, another guy who can go to first to third on a single, can go from second to home on a single. Schwarber, not that guy either.
Well, and think about how it bunches up the rest of the lineup.
I know.
You know, we were texting about this earlier. If you do that with the back-to-back lefties there, now you got all these righties stacked up, and you're going to force Stott in there somewhere?
Stott looked good today.
Two for three. So he's going to be in there just to get a lefty in there.
Yeah, or Kepler.
Or Kepler, yeah. Or
Rinconis.
I'm still learning Kepler.
You want Rinconis in there?
I can't even say his name
Yeah,
right
you'll
now.
Get there. You gotta roll the R a little bit.
Rinconis?
Rinconis.
Rinconis.
Rinconis?
Rinconis. Former second-round pick. But it's an annoying thing.
I don't want to learn Kepler yet because of Merrifield. I know they're not the same thing, but I learned Whit Merrifield, and it didn't do me any good.
Well, how long until people start calling him Kepler?
I've already thought about it twice.
You almost got to remind yourself it's Kepler, not Kepler.
Kepler.
But didn't we have a Kepler here?
Did we have another Kepler?
No. They worked here.
Oh, Keffer.
Oh, it's Keffer.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah. That guy led this station for a little bit.
He did.
Yeah, Spike left the station in his hands.
Yeah, Spike left us high and dry.
They told me I had to leave.
Yeah, we had the basically high school student running WIP. We're the minor leagues.
They told me it was July 1. You go to New York, so I went to New York.
Yep.
I was still here a couple days, I think. Wasn't I? No, that was after I wasn't here.
You were checked out. I mean, you couldn't even say hi to you.
Well, that's a lie. I wasn't checked out. What happens is, when everybody knows that you're leaving...
We checked out.
Yeah. When everybody knows that you're leaving, the first 2 weeks, everybody listens. Yeah. After that, everybody's like, you're still here?
This guy's still here?
That's why after the announcement came out at WFAN, which I think was in January.
January, yeah.
By the end of February, I was going to them. I was like, hey, these guys, they don't even care that I'm here anymore. I could not show up and they wouldn't even care. You got to get me down there. Nobody's listening to me anymore. I just go and hang out. I took a 2-hour walk every day. Would talk to Jack about the afternoon show for an hour. I wasn't doing anything anymore. I would love to work. work. I'm a worker. Right. You know.
Now you're right though. The employees, they pretty much like, yeah, you're out of here. Yeah, so we have to listen to you anymore.
Yeah. Why would I listen to what you say? It's gonna be a different guy here in a month anyway.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today,
brother?
OG.
Hey man, that was one of the best Jackie baseball moments, man. Segments, man, in a while. You know what I mean? You finally got a little Bryce, you know, backing. What do you want to call it?
There you go,
know?
Yeah.
Been
Jack
a little critical.
The,
yeah,
yeah,
finally
there.
Been a little critical.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I was impressed, man.
Now listen, you know keep it down and pipe down.
I'm just saying, I'm
artist wood I had ever touched.
All last year. The Phillies need to run the ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching the day, and I seen they was up. It was down 2-1. And you know when they took off? It's 9-2 now when they started running the ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you.
It's not football.
It works even in baseball, man.
Yeah, what is your – can you come up with a four-point system for baseball? I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
You got to pitch well. You got to make no errors in the field. You don't need home runs, just base-to-base. Yeah.
You gotta have something that has to be about the closer, right?
Bullpen can't allow runs.
Yeah, bullpen.
I need to see the ball on the ground, man. I need to see that ball running. You know what I'm saying? Hit that ball out there and let that big, what they call that, small ball?
Yeah.
That's what's needed. That's what's been missing with this team.
There it
is. You know what I'm saying?
Small
all
ball.
That going for the fences.
That's the run
that
the
stuff.
Ball of baseball.
Yeah. Spike, watch
your
mouth, Spike.
No, it just is. But they were right about running the ball, so they might be right about small ball.
Yeah. Right.
What, you know what I mean? And Spike, I got to congratulate you. You on the heater, man. You kicked Chuck's ass yesterday. You just got Chris Middletown. Get the hell away from OG.
All right.
You want to stay on that heater, stay away from the OG with your debate.
Well, it was actually Ike that nailed Chris from Middletown. I got to give him credit on that.
Jomo.
Yeah, the Moro Jomo thing.
Man, I really want the Eagles to stay.
Can't
get your phone together, OG.
I have bigger news. I actually have. Can you hit the breaking news thing, Jack, please?
Breaking news.
I have more breaking Paul George news.
Oh, whoa. Can we handle this?
This is huge, and we may. This is so huge. We may have to get a hold of Elliot on the plane. So I'm going to read an analysis of the Paul George signing. Okay. And I want you to tell me who had this analysis, okay? This is right after the Paul George signing. Here we go. This is a huge win for the Sixers. The biggest free agent available pick them. A win from the franchise that has caught plenty of criticism over the past few seasons. PG fits in perfectly with Maxie and Embiid. Obviously, he's not in his prime, but you couldn't build a more perfect player to play between Maxie and Embiid. Credit to Morey for pulling this off. He put the cap space plan together, and it worked. There's some obvious risk with this. Giving a 34-year-old a four-year max contract has some potential to be a major problem quickly, but the Sixers are now a top-five team in the NBA. It's hard to say no to a chance to be as good as they should be. The only team better than the Sixers in the East are the Celtics, and it is very hard to repeat an issue the Sixers won't have to deal with. The Sixers' window with Embiid and PG is probably 2 years. PG still does two things at an elite level. He shoots threes, and he can create his own offense when needed. He has some of the best isolation numbers in the league, and he is without question one of the best shooters. He can be the difference between winning a game six in the second round and not. Who had that analysis?
I know exactly who that is. That's Elliot.
Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot Shore Parks.
I could tell the way that read. I'm like, that's Elliot right there.
We gave that guy a victory lap on Paul George. What are we doing?
Well,
he has to run backwards a lap.
To take the victory.
He has to come in here tomorrow, and instead of Jordan Mailata sitting on a chair, and Elliot has to get on his hands and knees, and Jordan has to sit on Elliot's back.
Wow, so that got weird there for a second.
None of that. No. I mean, this is outrageous, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that first line said Elliot all the way.
Well, and at what point did he turn? I mean,
that's what happened. He turned.
He couldn't have turned. I mean, like,
I know.
This is the analysis. A huge win for the Sixers.
Well, yeah, you can't go from that to where he's at now.
No, and telling well, me told you so on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a little much now. Yeah.
The told you so stuff. And I gave him Embiid, by the way.
Yeah.
I gave him Embiid.
Yeah.
I gave him Embiid. I gave him Embiid. He said Embiid was cooked. But this is outrageous.
That reads like an Elliott.
To be honest, this is more praise than I gave Daryl Morey for the signing.
Well, he'll say you get further information, you updated information, and you got to change your opinion.
Yeah. This is what he should have to live with.
Well, I mean, listen.
As the offseason analysis.
The fact that you found it.
Thank you to Brutus Maximus on Twitter who
Brutus
tagged me.
Maximus.
He said, I just saw a reply to me and Elliot and it said, Spike, you need to read this.
Wow.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I was like, is this a fake Elliot Shore Parks? Because he said that Paul George was cooked the whole time. He's told you showing me up and down and up and down and up and down. We might need him here tomorrow to read this out loud on the radio.
Yeah.
I am furious with this.
I can tell.
We can tell.
Can this hurt him? We have Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. Can it hurt him in this? He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a fraud.
There's never any scoops.
Yeah, none. He was wrong about Quinyon Mitchell. He was wrong about drafting a guard.
Here comes the barrage.
He was the guy's wrong. He was wrong about CJGJ.
His hair doesn't even look that good.
No, he's not even dressed that well. He's short. He's got tiny feet.
Small hands too.
Small hands.
He could not be a GM in the NFL.
He could not.
Oh, Elliot. Oh boy.
Well, the problem with Elliot is that he just.
There's so many, Jack.
Well, I know, but he swings.
Yeah.
He swings so hard.
Yeah.
You know, easy.
What are you talking about in there?
I'm talking about his takes, not saying his personal life.
He does. He does. Everything is. He does swing pretty hard for his take.
He's a swinger.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so mad. All right.
Oh, man.
215-592-9494. If you want to call Elliot a fraud, you
that
go.
That was such an Elliot article, man.
I know.
It just
not
read,
an article. It doesn't write those anymore.
Yeah.
No
read
article.
Like Elliot, man.
It's just this guy's paying Twitter $12 a month so he can write the tweets this long and then come in the nerve to tell me. The nerve.
The nerve.
The nerve. Okay. All right, 215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need to take a big swing in free agency? We don't know what Elliot thinks because he could say one thing and then tell you said another thing, you know, in a month or two. We have the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. We are about three weeks away from actually awarding. What do we say? March 19th, we will award it. So no one has reported the Nick Sirianni extension yet, which is the golden goose. We will get to that next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz here on a beautiful February afternoon. Man, I want to drive down with a top down tonight.
Yeah,
I don't have a convertible.
Seriously.
No convertible, but no top down.
Well, listen, I gotta watch your mic all the time. Well, what are you holding on me for?
Because you normally handle it anyway.
I don't do it at a break.
You're right. You don't.
All right. Wow. Back right down.
He's right.
So before we get to Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, I think we have to take this call from Carl in Redding. Carl, you're on WIP.
Let me tell you something. I detest Elliot Shore Parks. I don't trust a man with three names. He thought the Spice Girls were better than the Beatles. This guy's always wrong all the time.
Sometimes he's right, though.
Did he say the Spice Girls? Did he really say the Spice Girls were better than the Beatles?
Did he say the Spice Girls were better than the Beatles?
So his take, from what I remember, is that Queen has more hits than the Beatles. Or like Queen's not a bigger band, but...
Oh.
Better songs.
Oh.
I mean, Queen is great. I mean, nobody's bigger than the Beatles. Yeah, I mean, Queen's awesome. Well,
and what about the Paul George thing he wrote? Holy hell.
Well, see, my problem on the Paul George thing here, Carl, is not that he was wrong. A lot of us were wrong. The problem is that he prances his little tiny toes around this office every day. And just every, by the way, we talked to him about the Eagles, and he'll say, not cook like Paul George. Blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile,
right.
This guy was slurping on Morey for the 600 words on this tweet. You know, I've done 75 podcasts since the offseason. And I haven't said as many positive things about the Paul George signing as Elliot said in that friggin' tweet. He's a fraud.
I have to go back to work, but I work with special needs folks. And if Elliot Shore Parks needs care, let him.
Oh, no. All number. Right. That is
bridge too far.
Yeah, bridge too far. Especially
a fresh
of
breath.
Yeah. A fresh
breath. Dancing around with his tiny toes. Man, that was classic.
I almost wanted to suspend the power rankings because I see his name on it here. It's unbelievable. Okay, why don't we get to it?
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
We are getting to the biggest time of the year.
Yeah.
The first ever Eagles Insider of the Year Award will be awarded March 19th. We're giving it through free agency because we didn't start it till I got here last year. Mm-hmm. I didn't get here till April. And this is awarded to the insider. It gets the most stories, gets the most inside information, is the most active, all of those things. We have put some bounties on the board for the final few weeks. Blockbuster trades and signings. Offensive coordinator, nobody got that. Only the Eagles. The Eagles broke that. That is tier one. Tier two, re-signings of players and coaches. I think the tush push stuff would be big news. Source trade rumors, tier four, anything else. So here we go. Now, I remind you, eliminated from the rankings is 6ABC's Jason Dumas because I love Jason, but his report that Brandon Graham would be making an announcement at the parade, incorrect.
Yep.
He said he pivoted, and yeah. Until we get confirmation from Brandon that that's true.
Yeah, it's too big of a story.
To get wrong.
Yeah, to get yep. wrong, yeah.
You know?
We need journalism on the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
Now, the newspaper reporter was in the top five for weeks. He's fallen out, and we haven't seen much. He did have a report today that the Eagles are making Zach Bond a priority. Wait a minute. Are you kidding?
Breaking news.
Yeah, come on. Everybody reported that.
Yeah, Howie basically said it at the podium yesterday. Yeah, like, yeah. Come on.
That's the type of stuff I bring to the table and never get credit
for. Little scoops, nothing. Borderline, we're just saying stuff to say stuff.
Yeah.
That's what Ike usually does.
Oh.
Like but he's supposed to be a big J.
Saying stuff just to say stuff. I tell you.
This guy. All right, number five on the Eagles Insider of their power rankings, Jeremy Fowler, who reported... That
ain't jumping here.
He said if the Washington Redskins were close to a trade.
Commanders,
sorry.
I like Redskins better, but
yeah,
go ahead.
I think everybody does, honestly. I think we're all back on, hey, can we just say
yes.
Redskins again?
Yes, and, the country back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right.
Ooh, boy.
As long as it was you. Jeremy Fowler reported that if the Commanders were close to trading for Myles Garrett, that Howie would swoop in mm-hmm. and get Myles Garrett. That is a big report. Diana Rossini at number four, she reported yesterday that it was the Packers that were the team that were pushing against the tush push.
Or their name this year, the Cowards.
The Cowards, the Green Bay Cowards. So big on Diana Rossini.
Yeah.
Number three, both Jeremy Fowler and Diana Rossini have been in the power rankings before. Number three, Clay Travis.
What?
Now, when the report came out earlier this week that the Eagles would not accept
White
House invite, he was the first one to say they haven't been invited. This is not true, not happened. And it turned out that he was not only was he right that they hadn't been invited, that was confirmed by the president. I mean, that is the biggest confirmation we've heard, you know, so far.
Yeah. That's journalism.
Now, unfortunately, Elliot is at number two.
For what?
He did ask Howie about Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
He did.
He did ask Joe Shane about Saquon. But
ooh, that's a big one, yeah.
The reason that he's not number one, he didn't ask Joe Shane about if he got the Saquon thank you card.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't ask Howie or Nick Sirianni about the extension yesterday. And we paid for a flight and hotel for Elliot to go to press conferences that we played on the radio. He's not even doing any of the combine stuff. And he didn't even ask two of the biggest questions there were.
I
mean, he could have driven. It's not that far.
Indianapolis?
That's pretty far, man.
What are you talking about, man?
It's got to be like an 18-hour drive, I would think.
Not that far.
Well, it's south of Chicago.
Yeah,
so,
but it's only an hour and a half away from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay, so probably 10?
It's probably 10 or 11, okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But still, that's a long drive.
Yes. And at number one, what else is he doing?
He could have done calls
while he's on the. He could have called WIP while he's in the car.
It's true.
He can't call while he's on the phone. He's too busy avoiding us for his Paul George take fraud. And number one, a real reporter, unlike Elliot, who has nailed story after story this year and been number one for weeks now. I think the longest standing number one is Tim McManus.
Mm.
What a job McManus has done. Now, McManus, you are not he's not bulletproof right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, McManus, I feel like, might be resting on his laurels a little bit.
Well, he did have a lot going on during the season.
He did, but that's fine.
He wrote a lot of stories.
I haven't seen anything from him yet. Would you agree that if he breaks the Sirianni extension...
Oh, it's over.
It's his over.
Oh, I got it already.
What do you mean you got it already?
I mean, I know what the numbers are going to be.
Well, report them.
I can't just put that out there like that, man.
Well, then you're not an insider. It means you have info. It means you have inside info. But it means you're not. You can't officially be an insider unless
you're reporting. Let's say I reported that Zach Bond's getting a 3-year deal of $20 million guaranteed and $30 million overall.
Yeah.
Like, would that count?
That counts.
Yeah, I mean, we're just all insiders.
Just repeating what Chris from Middletown said.
Yeah.
Well, that's my insider. Moro Ojoma had 6 sacks.
And I got Sirianni's extension at 3 years. 3 years.
Do they report money for coaches?
No, but people eventually find out what the money is. And
what do you think?
$45 million.
Man, I should have become an NFL coach.
Yeah. I don't think he gets up there to the 20. And by the way, I don't have any. This is me.
You're just guessing.
I want people reporting that
until,
I said this.
Until it comes out.
Yes, then I'll take credit for it.
Yes.
But
this is not a report.
Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby. Well, he's at like $8 million now, right?
I don't know. I think
his original contract is like $8 million per year, something like that, less than 10. I don't know if he gets to 20. That's where Andy's up there. I think Sean Payton. Yeah, those guys up there. But he's going to be somewhere between that 15 to 17 range.
Do you think they told him, if you get 20 if we're allowed to interview people for offensive coordinator?
Yeah, if you don't keep Kevin Petullo.
Yeah, 15 if we give you Petullo. All right, there you go.
That's doubling your pay salary.
That's not bad. $15 million a year.
Again, that is not an official report.
Yes.
Don't be out there repeating what I said.
No aggregating.
Don't start that nonsense.
Former Eagle Acres.
Yes, exactly.
Jack, tweet it. The Twitter question is brought to you by
Justin, get the video out.
Yes, now. Quick, with a transcript. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mars Jewelers. Mars Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at mars-jewelers.com. Do the Eagles need to acquire a star?
And they're joking, Justin.
You're making sure this is not.
Well, to make sure, yes.
You cannot win Insider now. You're demanding your information not be put on the internet. You just said on the radio.
Well, I don't have any sources. That's all.
That's a good point. Okay. Finally, you admit it.
Yes.
The Twitter question, the Eagles need to acquire a star defensive player this offseason or no? 27.1% say yes. 72.9% say no. The only person
we've gone up 10%.
The only person we've heard from, now we have almost 30% saying yes on Twitter. The only person we've heard from on the phones so far today is the guy that was willing to trade Jalen Hurts for him, but not Saquon.
And by the way, that was not Spiker on the Jalen thing.
Goes,
that was a caller.
Yeah, I said, what do you want to trade for him? And I assumed I would hear draft picks.
Sure.
He goes, not Saquon.
Not Saquon.
Not AJ. It's like, buddy, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Jalen, heartbeat. The guy that was Super Bowl MVP.
You were like, Jalen? And you were just dreaming.
I was just
funny.
Joking. Yeah. He was serious.
He said it in a heartbeat.
He goes, we got, what's his name? I go, McKee? He goes, we got that guy.
Fine. You saw him in week 17.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Seth and Bryn Mawr, you're on WIP. What's up, Seth?
What's happening, fellas? Just real quick, wanted to say, first time caller on this particular show, absolute best show of the day.
Oh, thanks,
buddy. That's exactly right. Yep.
That.
Which show do you dislike the most?
The morning show.
Yeah, big answer.
Man.
That's a big answer.
This is really...
Two things I wanted to talk about. Philly's lineup, first thing. Obviously agree with your takes there. Turner's got to be hitting one. Harper's need to kind of get out of his own head and take the two-hole there. I just think it's a team game. It's tough looking at all these other contracts he's seeing with these better players, but he's got to do it in order for this team to have success down the road and into the postseason. Second thing about the Myles Garrett. Although I do love this show, I do kind of disagree. I would rather see them keep a guy like Zach Bond. Not that you have to get rid of him, but keep this young core together. I think they're going to have to give up at least one of these young players on the defensive end of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Myles Garrett. There's no doubt that he would provide a great pass rush and he'd be a great addition to the team. But I just think that we're going to have to give up too much. If Howie, obviously I have trust in Howie always, but you know, I just don't think it's going to be something where we're going to be able to get done.
So to you, two first-round picks is too much for him. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Two first-round picks, I mean, if we're later in the rounds, obviously this year it's being 32, I'd be willing to give that up. I see this team having success a little bit in the future, obviously. So I see them being late first-round picks over the next 3 to 4 years. So I wouldn't mind giving up two first-rounders. I don't know if I see the Browns really being able to swing that, especially if the Commanders, I love calling them the Redskins. I'm actually from D.C., so I prefer the Redskins. But if they're our biggest competitor, I just see them being able to give up more. I don't know how he's able to swing. Like I said, always trust.
I got to be honest with you. Washington obviously has the most salary cap available, so they can offer the money. But they were in the NFC Championship game themselves, so their picks aren't going to be much better than ours. But there could be other teams that jump in here for Myles Garrett, too. I mean, it's not going to be just two teams that want him.
No, and the other thing about Washington is if your young team building is trading first-round picks for a 29. Now, they may see themselves. They're now I don't even know what to call them. The Commanders are an interesting case because they were in the NFC Championship game last year. And if you're running that team, you have to ask yourself, okay, we were on the doorstep. Also, most of our roster isn't even signed for next year.
It was a bunch of one-year guys.
So do we take a big step this year by trading first-round picks for a guy who can help now?
Right.
Or do we just sort of stay the course and continue to build
the way they are,
and not sort of – there have been teams that have gone after it right after they have a surprising playoff thing, and it doesn't always work. So I don't know. All right, Seth, appreciate the call, man. Thank you very
much. Thank you, guys.
Two big pieces of news out of the NFL draft combine. Mm. First one, starting next year, the NFL will use Hawkeye virtual measurement for line to gain, is stated. That's going to replace the chains. So it's not going to be chains next year. There will be like a computer basically saying, here's where the line is, right?
Yes.
Essentially. Like the yellow line.
How do you do that on the field?
They probably put sensors on, like they do for tennis. Tennis, if the ball is in or out and they have a question, they can just tell. By the way, same way the baseball can tell what's a ball or a strike. And this brings up to me, why are we not just doing this for balls and strikes, too?
Right.
You know,
because they want to keep the human aspect,
which
is a part of the game.
Then I'm fine. Then don't use the computers.
I would agree with you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this Hawkeye thing.
It's not Hawk Tua?
No, it is not.
That's what I thought you said at first.
It is not the Hawk Tua technology to get the first down?
It is not the Hawk Tua version where they spit.
Yeah. I guess you really only need it when you're going out to measure if you got the first down, right? Because on the sidelines, you could just have the sticks.
Yeah, and I bet what they could do is now they'll know when they place the ball down, they're going to know if it's a first down or not. They're not going to have to measure it anymore.
They might put a chip in the ball or something.
Well, the ball will be down, but I would assume that the virtual measurement can tell whether the tip of the ball is just the tip, whether the tip of the ball is across the line. Like, we're not going to have the drama of the measurement anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but I like when the old guys bring the chain out, they extend it, the crowd goes wild.
It doesn't it seem so prehistoric that they're like, all right, it is 2025. You can literally have a conversation with a computer person on your drive home. But for first down, what we're going to do is have these old guys.
And it's always old dudes.
Holding two sticks with a chain, and they're going to bring it out and measure it.
Yeah, but the reaction when it's
first down.
Oh, we're going to lose that. Dude, sports suck now. I'm just letting everyone know. It all sucks.
And great news for the tush push, for the pro tush push people.
What you got?
The NFL announced today that its internal data shows that the tush push play in 2024 resulted in zero injuries.
I bet you the Eagles made them put that out there. Like, hey.
Well, they must. Well, if Troy Vincent is saying that the reason they're looking at it, the reason they banned hip drop tackle is because of potential injuries.
Yeah.
So if he's going to, I think that is very meaningful coming from the NFL.
It is.
Well, and Troy Vincent did announce it, too. So, which is funny.
So I wonder if they're telling teams. Now, they have to put the rule up for a vote for 24 teams to vote that there should be a rule.
Right.
If they don't have a vote, there's no vote. It doesn't matter. You know, the NFL teams, 24 NFL teams could say, we want to ban Hail Marys.
Right.
There's nothing to vote on. They can't get rid of the rule. So the NFL doesn't even have to put it up for a vote, which I would imagine that they would have not gone public with this. I think this.
They almost put it out there.
To tell the teams.
To tell the teams, like, this ain't going to work.
You're not going to vote on
this. Like, this is not going to happen. Yeah.
Fantasy owners in franchise leagues are keeper leagues all over the country are like,
rejoicing.
Yes. And the Jalen Total Touchdown Committee also rejoicing.
That is a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a thing.
215-592-9494. Okay, Andrew, you're on WIP.
What it do?
That's the kind of what it do.
What it
like
do, here. Andrew?
What it do?
Hey, you see that home run by that outfield prospect today?
Yeah.
Rinconas.
Could be coming up this year. I saw
They were breaking down Rinconas on February 26th.
Yeah. One home run. Now he's our starting center fielder.
Two.
My bad.
And he's a corner outfielder. And if you squint, you see Cody Bellinger.
I like him off the bench.
He's not a bench bat. Stop.
The top couple of hitters today. Honestly, it doesn't look like anyone has changed their plate approach. In terms of...
Oh, hold on. Trey Turner worked an 8-pitch at bat and worked a walk. Come on, okay, Andrew.
Whoa. Right. How do you know that? You were producing the show.
It was a break. It was during a commercial break.
All right, okay.
And name one thing I've screwed up today.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
Been locked in since our pre-show meeting.
All right. Sorry I yelled at you, Jack. I already apologized to you once.
Long enough yet for
genuine apology. The guy brings it on the air.
So, it just seems like Bowman, Stott, or just keep trying to pull balls and not just really put it into play.
Stott had two hits. What are we talking about? I don't know. That was on the box score. I didn't watch that one. He got two hits.
I know he had two hits. He played well today, but it seems
he
like
was injured last year. I like Stott. I'm a Stott guy. I'm a Stott guy. He looks like a ball player to me. I know I say that all the time.
But he's a winner.
Yeah, he just seems like a ball player to me.
He's a winner.
I want to see plate approaches change. I want to see people put balls in the play instead of trying to like drill one 450 feet.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Okay,
get back to the Eagles.
Yeah,
that was a good call.
What I like about Stott is that Stott will take pitches. I would hit. You know what I?
Well, he hit second. In 22, right?
I would hit Stott second.
Hit second.
They brought him in leadoff a little bit in 23.
They start
with Turner, and then they put Stott up there.
Yes.
Because I think Thompson views him as a leadoff hitter, but I don't think they let him be the leadoff hitter. So, yeah. But, yeah.
If King Bryce doesn't want to hit second, I would go Trey Turner, Stott, Bryce, Schwarber, Castellanos.
He's got to prove it a little bit more for me.
He had one bad year.
He had 232 last year.
He had a big elbow problem.
I know. I'm pro Stott.
Yes.
But he needs to get back in the 280s before I'm putting him in the two spot.
All right.
Well, you'd rather have him there than Schwarber, right?
No, I'd rather have Schwarber there.
Really?
Yeah, just like you want your best hitters at the top of the lineup. Stott is a good player.
But if Stott is back to being the Stott of 23, sure.
Then you're okay him hitting two.
Sure. I'll get him higher up. But
okay.
Yeah. I'm not putting him there opening day.
It's Bohm is the one that I don't want at. I want.
You don't want him in the four hole.
I want him at three, or I want him at like. Six. If Castellanos has got to hit fifth, I would actually hit Bohm probably fifth and Castellanos sixth.
If you put where in what? Oh,
I would do this.
There?
I would do this. Yes. If we have 285 Stott, I would go and King Bryce doesn't want to hit second. Then I would go Trey, Stott, Bryce, Schwarber.
That's three lefties though. I can't do three lefties.
They're doing it now.
Well, not really. There's two lefties.
Well, and four righties.
Yeah, but righties is different.
Okay.
Like, I'm just lefties late in the game becomes you can just bring in your lefty and get three out, most likely.
Okay.
But, yes, in a perfect world, they could put Bohm at three and Schwarber at four and Bryce can bat second.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not pro Bohm that high, but he can put the bat on the baseball. You know, hit the ball the other way, a little first, third action.
Well, I mean, Topper said it's like a completely new guy this year, attitude-wise, he said.
Topper sounds fired up, man.
Thank God for that.
By the way, he said that.
That's the one thing that had me sour on Bohm is the attitude.
Oh, just that he was crying during a win.
The dugout is not a...
Up 10 after they've been horrible for a month. Andre Dillard?
Andre Dillard vibes, man.
Oh,
yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
A lot of growing this offseason.
Well, and Topper said that day one. And I was like, you've been around him for an hour. He didn't have any good days last
year. He's trying to set the tone. Yeah.
He also said how proud he was of Taiwan.
He did. He did. Well, we said, so one of the top fives Buzz did last year is the things you're going to hear in spring training.
Yeah.
And one of them was best shape of his life. And we decided that the number one most likely best shape of his life guy was Taiwan.
Yep.
And I saw that from Topper. I'm like, there it is.
There it
but
is.
At least it's smart this time because we're trying to get him out of here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell it. Oh, yeah. We're just basically advertising him. Yeah.
2 years he's got left, right? At $19 million a year?
2 years at 18, but yeah.
18. Well, that's your guy, Dave Dombrowski.
Oh, yeah, your guy's on fire.
And well, I'm just saying, your guy. What's the worst signing? Taiwan Walker or Paul George?
Well, it's still Paul George. And there's no big extension to Embiid. Well, equivalent on the Phillies.
That's true. Yeah.
Although Turner,
or
I guess.
Trey Turner, yeah.
He worked an 8-pitch at bat today and walked up.
There you go. Jack, I ask you, in the top 5 of 5 coming up next, which everyone loves and looks forward to every day. People tune in across the world.
Sure.
What do we have to look forward to?
So, it's funny. Speaking of Elliot, I was thinking off of our conversation yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What are the 5 best Elliot Shore Parks arguments?
Oh.
Because there's a lot that we get trapped
what
in.
What are the 5 best
Elliot Shore Parks arguments? Do you have audio from these?
Or? No, it's okay. Just like the things he believes.
Okay. Well, I can think of one of them.
There's a lot.
There's one that sticks out. There's one that is so insane that I want Elliot to come in here from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. one day and argue about it for 12 straight hours because nobody agrees with him. The only person that agrees with him is probably Michael Porter Jr.'s brother and Pete Rose. I think those are the only two people that would agree.
Oh, that's the one I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that is his most insane one.
It is. The top 5 at 5 is next. We'll take your calls as well. 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.